Hello and welcome to the Control Risks podcast for 18 June 2014. My name is Charles Hecker. I'm the Global Research Director in Global Risks Analysis with Control Risks here in London. Today I'm joined by Jonathan Wood, who's our Associate Director for Global Issues. Jonathan, when thinking about global issues, the one thing that's dominating the headlines without pause is Iraq. And in fact, as we're recording this podcast, David Cameron, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, is talking about how Iraq is indeed a global threat, and quite specifically, a threat to the United Kingdom. Can you elaborate a little bit for us on how to place what's happening in Iraq now in a broader geopolitical context, and tell us the level of threat for places like the United States, the United Kingdom, and other parts of Western Europe?
Well, there are two main threats that are emerging out of the destabilization or indeed even collapse of Iraq. The first is a kind of immediate tactical threat, and that is there are longstanding concerns that the number of Western residents that have traveled to Syria and potentially also now Iraq to fight in the conflicts there could wind up returning to the UK, US, Australia, France, the Nordic countries to carry out attacks. The second concern is more strategic, and that's what the conflict in Iraq means for stability in the Middle East itself. In particular, the sectarian competition between Iran and Saudi Arabia, for the autonomy ambitions of the Kurds, both in northern Iraq, but also in Syria and Turkey, and what it would mean strategically for a major oil-producing country to be destabilized. So there's that, if you like, more encompassing concern that's also coming out of the conflict.
Jonathan, for the conflict in Iraq to start to impact oil prices any more seriously than it already has, the trajectory of the Sunni insurgents that began in Mosul would have to head all the way down to the southern production fields in and around Basra. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, Iraq, after the coalition war there, had anticipated that by this time it would be a much larger global oil producer than it has, in fact, become. The irony is that over the last year or so, it has actually steadily increased production out of the south. But in global terms, it's still potentially marginal, especially given the volumes that are coming online outside of the Middle East in places like the US, Canada, Colombia, and more stable countries. So the reaction that we've seen in oil markets so far has been fairly muted. But were you to see a direct security threat to the southern oil-producing complex in Iraq, those perceptions could rapidly change, and perhaps even more so were any of the violence currently plaguing Iraq to spill over into other oil-producing countries like Kuwait or Saudi Arabia, or even the threat thereof. That would have a much more significant impact on global threat perceptions around energy.
Jonathan, one of the options that we have in turning back the ISIS trajectory southbound from Mosul is seeing an alliance, however temporary and however awkward, between the United States and Iran. And in fact, just in the past 24 to 48 hours, we've heard that the United Kingdom wants to reopen its embassy in Tehran after an absence of several years in the Iranian capital. Jonathan, how stable can this alliance be and how effective can it be?
Well, this is very interesting, and for a couple of reasons. The first is it's coming at an extremely delicate time in Iran's negotiations with the P5+1 over its nuclear program. The first commitment period of the Joint Plan of Action expires on the 20th of July. They, by that time, would like to have at least the framework of a permanent deal in place. And what's happening in Iraq is, to the degree that it brings these parties closer together on yet another strategic issue, complicates that set of negotiations. The second thing to remember is that Iran has cooperated tactically with the U.S. in the past. They were a very significant source of information about the Taliban in Afghanistan when the U.S. invaded after the 11 September 2001 attacks. And that cooperation only broke down, really, after the U.S. declared Iran to be a member of the Axis of Evil. I think we can probably count on Obama not to make a similar statement this time around. But in that sense, this type of, if you like, tactical cooperation to contain the Sunni Islamist insurgency in Iraq could very well be a quite positive development in terms of the overall tenor of U.S.-Iranian relations. And I think the point that you mentioned about the U.K. reopening its embassy, establishing normal diplomatic relations with Iran, is perhaps a sign not just of that, but of the first dynamic, the desire and the positioning of many countries to be prepared for when Iran is less isolated economically, when it re-enters the international community.
Jonathan, just as an aside, since you mentioned the nuclear negotiations, what is the likelihood that Iran is linking any of its cooperation on activities in Iraq to concessions for its nuclear program. Is this a bit of a stick-and-a-carrot approach that they might be using in their conversations with Washington?
I think that there will be some perception that what's happening in Iraq strengthens Iran's leverage. But it's worth remembering that the destabilization of Iraq, and particularly an eruption of sectarian warfare, is a significant strategic threat to Iran itself, and certainly not in its interest under any circumstances. And furthermore, I think on both sides of the negotiating table, there's been an effort to disassociate the particularities of the nuclear negotiations from other issues. So take, for example, Syria. The U.S. and Iran are on opposite sides of the Syria conflict, and yet they're negotiating quite productively over the nuclear program. So both sides will, in my view, remain keen to keep these areas of concern fairly separate, fairly compartmentalized, and to not let, either for better or worse, what's happening in Iraq influence, derail, otherwise complicate the nuclear negotiations.
Jonathan, in addition to striking a temporary allegiance with Iran, no matter how awkward or unstable that arrangement might be, what are the options that we have for military activity to halt the ISIS trajectory southward from Mosul?
What you're beginning to see, and what I think you'll see going forward, is the ISIS advance running into resistance and opposition. So in the north, it will, of course, be the Kurds and the Kurdish militia. And then in the south, it will be the remnants of the Iraqi security forces and Shia militia. The question becomes where the ultimate battle lines get drawn, and if ISIS can consolidate, and of course its related supporters in the Sunni community, can consolidate a zone of control in that north-central part of Iraq, including some of the key energy infrastructure. And what may well be decisive in determining that longer-term question is where the U.S. in particular, but potentially other countries like Iran, come down in terms of wanting to roll back ISIS's gains.
Great. Jonathan Wood, Associate Director for Global Issues at Control Risks. Thank you very much.